All right, I want you to get your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And then I want you to, we're going to read that verse first, but find 1 Corinthians 10. We'll start there. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 20. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And just we're going to read a verse there, a parallel verse to the message tonight. And then we'll go to Acts chapter 20. Would you stand with me, please, if you're able? Let's read God's Word together, and then we'll pray, and then I'll give you the message. We'll try not to keep you as long as this morning. I know school's going on. We try very hard at our church, or I do, during the week on prayer meeting night to kind of get done at a decent hour, because I know the kids have to get home and do their last-minute homework that they should have done when they came home on Friday. I taught high school. I know how that goes. Oh, yes. But we'll try to get you home at a good hour, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Read that with me again. He said, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Now turn to Acts chapter 20 real quickly. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to read a familiar story in the book of Acts that has a parallel to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Notice in verse number 6 of Acts chapter 20, we know that Paul is on his missionary journeys, and we read about one of the stops he makes here in a place called Philippi, or on the way from there. And the Bible said in verse 6, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas." So this is where he's at now, in the city of Troas, "in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week," which is Sunday, by the way, the Lord's Day. Amen. Amen. And says, "On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Couldn't have been a Baptist church. There's no way they could have been Baptists. Lord have mercy, after about an hour and a half, boy, they start scratching their head and throwing their watch up in the air. And nowadays with cell phones, I've had them set the alarm on their cell phone. By the way, if you have one, turn it off just for a little while. Anyway, they stayed till midnight. See, what is it, about quarter to seven? What was that say back there? Quarter to seven? Well, man, I'll try to get you out by 11:30. Amen. The Bible said, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man," probably a teenager, "a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep." He had to be Baptist. I mean, he was an independent, fundamental, missionary, sin-hating, devil-killing Baptist, because right in the middle of the preaching, he fell asleep. "And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Amen. When he therefore was come up again and broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day." Wow. Talk about an all-night camp meeting. Amen. Yes, sir. "And it said, So he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Father, we love you tonight. We ask you now to open up the Word of God to our hearts. And Father, young and old, Father, the message for all of us here. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts the desired principle and truth that you want to give us here tonight. We love you. Thank you for Cornerstone Baptist Church, for Brother Roddy and all the folks here and their kindness to us. We look forward to the next two nights. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to use 1 Corinthians 10 as sort of the title of the message, and very simple, the latter part of the verse said, "Take heed, lest ye fall." Amen. take heed, pay attention, or you may fall. And then we go to this story in Acts where Paul is having a very brief revival meeting. I mean, really, he was there 7 days, but according to the text, in Acts 20, he did all of his preaching on the Lord's day. And it was all day. It was all night. But you got to understand that these people in Troas and other places in the Bible at that time were all new to this thing of Christianity. And the fact that they got, listen, all those folks, I believe, had the same idea that Brother Taylor had. They were so glad to be saved and not having to live in that wicked, ungodly, idol-worshipping religion. And they were so thankful to be saved that, man, when they heard Paul was coming, boy, they couldn't wait to get the church cleaned up and get it ready to go. Man, they sent out the invitations and the flyers and said, hey, we're going to have a one-day meeting and we want you to come. Well, the Bible says that they met in the third loft, an upstairs room, as you will. And there Paul was preaching, and we meet a young man named Eutychus. And now, I want, and you'll see in the message in a moment, that where he was a good place in church. Where he sat was not a good place. Now, I'm not going to preach tonight on where you sit in church. But there have been many times in my church that I've thought about taking the pulpit to the back of the church where everybody sits so they can see what it's like to be on the front row. But the pulpit's too heavy to move, so I don't do it. But it's not about where you sit or sit or, you know, South Carolina, where you sit. Right? Amen. Not amen. Amen. Oh, and by the way, let me ask you a question. I got to get this straightened out. Is it pecan pie or pecan pie? Of course it is. You know it's pecan. You ever drank a con of soda? You never got a con of Pepsi, did you? You got a can. So, there you go. Thought I'd get that straightened out, just in case anybody was wondering. Probably. But isn't it amazing, though, that in our day and time, we talked a little bit about it this morning in the church of today, that a meeting like this would be unheard of. In fact, a meeting like this could possibly split some churches. Imagine if the word got out that we're going to have we're going to meet on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and we're not going to dismiss till 11 o'clock Monday morning. And it's not a drop in. Well, bless God, I won't stay all that time. I'll pop in and out. This was not a drop in. This was not show up, get a little taste and leave. These folks stayed until daybreak. They were hungry for the Word of God. They wanted to hear from the man of God who had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He knew what he looked like. He heard his voice. He was sent by Christ to the churches of Asia. And so they meet together and the service begins. And as it moves along, and we don't know how long it went, it said until midnight, so sometime within that time frame, this young man, a tragedy occurs. He falls out the window, and he dies. Now, we know that Paul said, the liberals want you to believe that he just hit his head and was unconscious. But Paul said, don't be afraid, his life is still in him. But that means that Paul was fixing to do a miracle, as God was wont to do in those days. But what I want us to look at for a few moments in connection with 1 Corinthians 10, and we see what happened to Eutychus, the Bible then is certainly true, take heed lest ye fall. And so I want to look at a couple of things real quickly in the text and in the story of this young man. And let's, and since the Bible, the Word of God tells us that all Scripture is given for our example, every bit of it is applicable.
Right.
Now, there are some parts of the Old Testament, certainly were directed to the Jews, some of their ceremonial law and things like that. But even those things can have some, and we're not talking about spiritualizing the Scripture. It is what it is. God said what He meant what He said.
Amen.
But there's always some kind of a moral or an example that we can find from Genesis all the way to Revelation.
Amen.
So here we have a story that, by the way, again, this is not a parable.
Right.
This is an actual event that occurred
right.
in this young man's life. And so I want to look at a couple of things here this morning or this evening. And because in most churches today, they have an order of service. Now, I'm not talking about disorderly service. At our church, we do things a certain way. It's the way I've always done it. And so we sort of have it in a certain order. But we don't write it out in a bulletin or we don't print it somewhere as though nothing else can happen but that. Because it's a shame when people go to church now. You better be able to get the congregational singing in, the choir singing, the special music, the offering, and the preaching, and the invitation, and you better get it done in an hour. Because after an hour, I'm leaving. Come on now, you know that's right. Isn't that sad that... And, oh, and by the way, if the Holy Ghost can squeeze in somewhere, he better get in quick. I tell you, I'm of the opinion that I would do away with all of it except for the preaching and the movement of God. Now, I love singing. You know that. I love choir singing. We have great music at our church. I love it. I love it. I love it. But listen, if God touches the music in such a way that the Holy Ghost begins to move, well, listen, we're not going to just say, okay, we're just going to have a singing. Oh no, if the Holy Ghost is there, we want to use what He inspired. And so we want to make sure the music sets the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. And I believe you have that right here. And that's a joy. What a blessing. That means you can go to Cornerstone anytime, get the right kind of music. Amen. Get the right kind of singing, the right kind of words, and the right kind of preaching. I tell you, churches like that are getting hard to find. And so that's why if you're a member at this church, man, you ought to be loyal to it, love it, don't let anybody talk bad about it. Hey, if they won't talk bad about you, tell them to shut up. Amen. Now, I know that's politically incorrect language, but that works. Amen. If they're going to talk bad about your preacher, you tell them to shut up. Amen. Unless you're doing it yourself. Then you better look at yourself and say, shut up. Let me show you a couple of things real quickly, can I? Number one, notice with me as we look at the text, and the Bible talks about take heed lest you fall. Let me say number one, we must heed the place where we are sitting. We must heed the place where we're sitting. Again, I'm not necessarily talking about where you're sitting in the church. Although the text here deals with Eutychus sitting in a window. But let's go beyond that. Let's find the truth behind that. Where we must take heed to the place we're sitting. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You better be careful where you plant yourself. You better be careful what you listen to. Be careful where you go. Be careful the counsel you receive. Because if it's not of God, it is for your destruction. So we see that we must heed the place we're sitting. Notice where he was in the window. Now he was in church. He at least was in church. Most churches today don't have open windows where you could sit like they did back in the old days when they'd have meetings and they'd throw open the windows and people be sitting out in the yard.
Yeah.
They don't do that much anymore. I wish we'd get back to that.
Amen.
But he was in church. Can I say, number one, that is a commendable place to be?
Amen.
I want to commend you for being in church tonight.
Amen.
There's a lot of folks that think one service a week is all they need. I need all I can get.
Amen.
I like three times a week, and I find other places to go. If we're having meetings around Columbia, South Carolina, I drive 2 hours most of the time to go places just to go hear preaching. Yeah, you know why? Because it's a commendable thing to do. Hey, the Bible said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, but He also uses God's Word to feed us. You know what? Some of you drive a long way for a good meal at a restaurant, but you won't drive 5 minutes to go to church. Come on now. You know that's right. Hey, I want to say that His presence was commendable. But notice, second of all, His position was critical. What do you mean, preacher? Well, as you read the rest of the story, you find that he fell out of the window and died. So obviously that was critical. But what happened before he fell? What's the big deal about him sitting in the window? Well, think about this for a minute. He's sitting in the window. You know what that means? He's half in and he's half out.
Right. Come on.
Right?
Right.
If that window was open and the brother piano player was sitting in that windowsill, he'd be half in and half out. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the part that's in is hearing the man of God preach the Word of God. The part that's not is hearing his friends down on the street saying, hey, Eutychus, come on, man, we got something to do. We're going to go have some fun. You don't need all that church, Eutychus. Hey, don't scream up here. My parents might hear you. I'm in church right. Listen, his attention was divided. He heard enough of God's Word to kind of keep him inside, but got just enough of that world until eventually it killed him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't bring the world into the church. This is the safest place your kids can be. You get them under that gospel. You make them sit with you or make them behave. Amen. You know, what happened to Eutychus might not have happened had he been sitting with his parents. Instead of in the window, what if he'd have been in the pew? Been hard to fall out the window sitting in the pew. Amen. I'm just saying, his place was commendable, but his position was critical. We better start teaching our young folks to get all in for God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the public schools aren't going to teach them that.
Right.
Government's not going to teach them that.
Right.
And most churches aren't going to teach them that. They bring the world in and try to get the crowd. I'm telling you, you know Paul wouldn't have done nothing like that. Paul wasn't into that contemporary music. Paul wasn't into that, light-hearted sort of everything's good preaching. Oh no! They didn't have a Joel Osteen back then. Amen! But that young man made a decision to sit in the window. And now he's being presented with a decision that ultimately cost him his life. But only by the grace of God was the man of God there to restore it. Amen now. So his presence was commendable. Notice his position was critical. And then notice in verse 9, his place became comfortable. He sat in the window, half in, half out, and he fell asleep. He got comfortable. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. The worst thing that can happen to you in the church is for you to decide that it's okay like it is. It's my R4 and no more. We'll just be satisfied with what we've got. And we're not going to change for nobody. We're not going to let folks in. Listen, a church that won't let sinners in is not a church as far as I'm concerned. And if you're not going to let sinners in, you ought to close the door, sell the building, and go home. And it's not about how much they make. It's not about what side of the tracks they come from. Ready? It shouldn't matter what color they are. A soul is a soul. There's not a white soul and a black soul and an Indian soul. There's just souls. I spent many, many years in Rock Hill early on knocking on doors on the Catawba Indian Reservation. Yes, sir. I knew the chief, Chief Blue. And they were very kind. They wouldn't let us go too far. But man, listen, I thank God we had the privilege to win some of them Catawba Indians to Christ. Somebody said, man, we don't want that crowd in here. Hey, if your church is too particular about who comes in, then maybe you shouldn't even be here. That's good preaching right there. Don't be out or an in, be in. Just be in. I'm saying his place became comfortable. He got tired of the preaching. Well, if our preacher would just be a little more dramatic. What? God help you tell your kid, boy, I wish, our pastor's a good man, but I tell you, if I was a pastor, I'd do it different. Well, sign up. I told my people, I'd be glad for you to preach, be the pastor for a month. Be my pleasure to let you do it. And every time I get a call, say, talk to so-and-so. Within 3 days, I promise you, you'll give it up. Amen, preacher. That's good. We're with you. He got tired of the preaching. Ready? He got tired of his parents. My parents are just old fuddy-duds. Man, they don't know what's going on. What do you mean sit with my parents? Man, all my friends are back there on the back row, cutting up and carrying on. Huh? I know I was there. I didn't get all the way to the back. They wouldn't let me go that far. But I'm telling you, I grew up under a pastor that'd call you out by name in front of 600 people in that church building. And the only two that really mattered were mother and dad. Come on now. You know that's right. We didn't get up and run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. I'm telling you right now, some of you need to take your kids to the doctor. They got kidney trouble. They got to get go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Unless they're sitting at a ball game or out with their friends and they won't go till tomorrow morning. It is kind of good preaching, ain't it? Since you mentioned that, I think it is too. Listen, but he also, ready? He got tired of performing. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I guarantee he knew the words to the hymns. I guarantee he had a little scripture memorized, what scripture there was available at that time. I'm sure he had some of it memorized. But you know what? Because he was half in and half out. Isn't it amazing how when you let that happen, you get tired of what's good and get suckered into what's not good? All of a sudden, I don't want to go down there and sing that. Them songs are so... Man, I want something with a beat. Really? Hey, man, I grew up in Detroit, man. I grew up in the days of Motown. This brother's from Romulus. I grew up in Inkster. He's just right across. We used to go there and fight. No, we did. I didn't. But he did. Yeah, he probably did. But, man, we grew up with Michael, with the Jackson 5 and the Temptations. Come on. What? Moonwalk? Are you kidding me? I have a hard time walking normal. But you know what? Listen to me. That stuff meant absolutely nothing. Because most of that crowd, if not all of them, probably in hell already. And all it does, you bring that stuff into the church. Well, we want to reach our young people. Let me tell you, we knock on doors. Man, isn't it amazing how parents now pick a church based on what their kids like? We knock on the door and say, we're Anchor Baptist Church, and we're out trying to invite people to church. Are you born again? Are you saved? Well, let me ask you a question, Pastor. What do you have for the kids? Preaching? Well, what else? Preaching? You don't have nothing else? Preaching? I know you have children's church, and when we get a space to do it, we're going to do it. But you know what we're going to do in children's church? Preach! Yeah. Let's quit letting the patients run the asylum. How many of you moms and dads are trusting your children to make the mortgage payments? Or the car payments? How many of you let them drive the car? But you're going to let them decide what church you go to? Buddy, when we went to what is now my home church in Michigan, my dad got us up, said, we're going here, and that's that. He didn't ask for a vote. Now, he and my mother, I'm sure, talked it out, but us three boys didn't have a thing to say about it. We didn't have a boat.
That's right.
And we didn't come home and say, I don't like that place.
Oh, too bad.
Because that didn't matter. What we thought didn't matter.
Right.
You say, well, man, that's awful. No, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
When they grow up and learn how to make decisions, then what they think matters.
Right.
See, now I'm a daddy. Now what I say matters.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
When my kids were little, I made the decisions.
Right.
So you see, you got to be careful. Remember, take heed, lest you fall. You better heed the place where you're sitting. And I'm talking about when you go out of these doors right here. Where are you sitting when you go out of here? Are you half in and half out? Or, God help, are you all the way out? Imagine how many people, probably members of this church even, who are out. And you can't find them with the FBI. You know why? Because they're sitting in places they shouldn't be sitting. And they're too full of pride or too ashamed to get it right. But notice the second thing real quickly. I got to hurry. Not only must we heed the place where we're sitting, but notice we must heed the precaution of sleeping. Now, nothing wrong with sleeping. But not when you're driving. Not when you're operating the machine down at your job. Really, not even when you're in school, young folks. But I, listen, and certainly not in church. We got a man in our church, God bless him, he's 87 years old, retired military, retired Columbia police officer, investigator, I mean, great man, one of the best men I've ever known. He sits on the second row with his wife, and I'll be preaching, giving it all I got, and I look down here. I said, you know what? I don't fuss at him about that. Because I tell you, he's one of the best men in our church. But one day he done that at another church with another pastor. Boy, he was out. And one of his friends bumped him in the back and said, the pastor wants you to dismiss in prayer. And he jumped up in the middle of that preacher preaching and said, Lord, dismiss the service. That's why I don't bother Ralph when he's sleeping. I just let him go. I tell you, you better be careful where you fall asleep. Because I tell you, these folks may be your brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're still human, and they'll pull one on you just as sure as you're a Baptist. You see, while he was sitting in the window, listen, let me hurry, he was being anesthetized by the devil. He was being fed from those friends out on the street. Hey, Eutychus, come on, slip up, tell your mom you're going to the bathroom. And then come on down. We got some good stuff going on. And the devil will feed you that. And it's not just the kids. It's the parents too now. Yeah. You know, we blame all the troubles on the young folks. No, 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 no. Most of the trouble is because of us older folks who ought to know better. Come on now. Especially us Christian, us folks that say we're born again. We ought to know better than to allow the devil's medicine to put our families asleep. You turn that TV on, you're anesthetizing your children. You let them listen to the wrong kind of music, and you are putting your kids to sleep. Come on now. And then when the trouble comes and you want them to respond right and they don't, and your heart is broken because you allow the devil to put your kids asleep. Amen? Are you with me now? In the window, he was being anesthetized by the devil. And guess what? In the window, you know what he was doing? He was blocking the breeze. Because back then, they didn't have air conditioning. And he's sitting in the window. I don't know what size boy it was. But I guarantee the folks sitting right by that window probably thought, I wish he'd go sit down somewhere. I won't feel that breeze. You know, sometimes God wants to really work in the church, but there are adults and kids who are too busy sitting in the window. They're blocking the breeze from another country. God wants to move through. Come on now. When those disciples were in the upper room, and that sound of a rush, it wasn't a rush, it was the sound. But it had them thinking about, now listen, that didn't they weren't sitting in the window when that happened. You want the breeze from God to come through, then you're going to have to get out of that window. You're going to have to decide to get in. Remember what we read this morning in Revelation 3? I wish you were cold or hot. Hey, if you can't get in, get out. Now, no pastor, you understand. Listen, I've had people say things like that. It hurts me when people leave my church.
That's right.
Even people that I have prayed and God has revealed that they need to leave, and I've asked them to leave because they were hurting the ministry. It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Amen.
It kills me. Sometimes it has to be done.
Yeah.
Because God's wanting to do something in that ministry.
Amen.
And there's too many people sitting in the window blocking the breeze.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, and then of course, in the window, that's where he began to die. That's where his death started. Now, he didn't know it. He sat down that window. Maybe he'd done it before. I don't know. But this particular time, he sat in the window and had no idea that sometime before the sun came up, that young man would be dead. You young people, you think, hey, I got lots of time. I'll serve God later. I'll get saved when I'm an adult. I want to sow my wild oats. But remember, you what you sow that you're going to reap. And you always reap more when you come out than you did when you went in. And so be careful that you don't make up your mind by the devil's putting you to sleep that I'm going to do what I want to and my parents are not going to. Boy, I can't wait to get out of the house. I hope my youngest brother, both my brothers I think are trying to come this week. Both of them recently saved.
Amen.
One of them lives here in Rock Hill over on Anderson Road and the other one lives in Waxhaw, North Carolina. And I tried to reach him for a long time, for years. Finally, one day God laid him on my heart, and I just called him and said, I'm coming to see you. And they said, what for? I said, you know what for. And they said, oh, that visit. Yeah, that visit. I said, yep. I said, God's put you on my heart. It's been long enough. You've been running long. And I went to my youngest one. He got born again. His wife got saved right beside him. Then I came to Rock Hill, led my middle brother to the Lord in his apartment. I said, yep. He said, are you coming to see me like you did, Jeff? I said, I sure am. But he got born again. Thank God. I'm telling you, what the church needs is to wake up and get a burden for sinners. You can build a church on other people's church members, but it won't last. If they left one, don't think for a minute they won't leave you. They've got that mentality. Church hoppers. Diesel sniffers. Amen. Hey, I'm going to go to church where they got lots of good singing and quartets and trios and folks coming in from Nashville and all that. My gracious. Listen, you've got good music right here. Why should you have to call somebody in? You got what you need right here. Folks will chase after that kind of stuff, you know. But just remember, when that happens, you're beginning to die. I don't know how long it's going to take, but take heed lest you fall. So we must heed the place where we're sitting. We must heed the precaution of sleeping. Number three, quickly, we must heed the pain as the result of slipping. Always remember, it's not the fall that hurts you. It's the sudden stop. Like that feller cleaning windows on a high rise in New York City, and he slipped off the scaffold and down he went. And as he went past the 81st floor, a man was sitting in his office with the window open and he yelled at him, how's it going? He says, so far, so good. So far, you'll get that in a minute. So far, so good. The devil will tell you that what you're doing, so far, so good. Just because God doesn't punish you right away doesn't mean that he won't. The grinding wheel of the judgment of God may grind slow, but it grinds sure. And I don't know what the parents had to do with him being in that window. Maybe they had something to do with it. I'd say they probably did. But I'm saying, you better realize that when you slip out, there's pain. There's going to be heartache and sorrow. Come on now. Christians can suffer heartache and sorrow just because they've gotten away from God. You don't have to be in gross sin. You just get in the window and go the wrong way. And all of a sudden the pastor's getting a call, preacher. Preacher, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. What do I do? And the preacher will say, let's pray and get right. Well, preacher, I know, but I don't want to do that yet. What else can I do? There is nothing else you can do. I counsel with folks. I give them Bible. They'll look me in the face and say, is that all you got to say? I say, that's all I know to say. That worked for me. It kept me out of jail. It kept me out of an early grave. It'll keep you out of hell too. That's right. Because when he slipped out, he realized in that moment he couldn't stop falling. When you fall out, you can't stop yourself. Well, preacher, you know, I can take a little drink anytime I want to and quit anytime I want to. The graveyard and the hospital are full. I dealt with them. My Lord, I dealt with them. My first church, I had a church full of former drug addicts and drunks that said they got saved. Many of them still serving God, but many of them not. They tried. They played the game. And they got back out. I had one young man, said he got saved. He's faithful to church, had the cirrhosis of the liver. And he's over here in Rock Hill. And he went to the hospital. They put him on the transplant list. And short, and we prayed, oh, we just, God, please give him a new liver. He wants to serve you. And boy, all of a sudden he got a call one day, and the hospital here in Rock Hill said, we got you a liver. We won't do the surgery. Buddy, I want you to know we prayed, we shouted, we had a big time. He got that liver in. And what long after that I left Rock Hill and went, took another church in North Carolina. But I kept up with the young man. And next thing I found out, he died with cirrhosis of the liver. When he got the new one, he drank himself to death. And you know what he told his brother? He said, now that I got a new one, I can do it all over again. I'll tell you, if the boy was saved, God punished him. If he wasn't, he's in hell right now. And he couldn't stop it once it got started. Come on now. It only takes one drink to get him started. Only takes one joint to get him started. Come on. One pill to get him started. One immoral act to get them started. And now they don't have to go somewhere in the dark and do it. They can pull it up on their phone.
Yes.
The number one problem in the Independent Baptist Church movement in America is pornography. Because it's readily available in secret. But remember what the Bible said? God said, what you do in secret, I will reward openly. We must heed the pain as the result of slipping. He couldn't stop falling until he hit the bottom. Why do you want to hit the bottom? Man, if the preacher or somebody tells you how you can get right with God, don't wait until you splatter all over the ground. You can't stop yourself from falling, but he can. And he will, and he does. I've seen him do it many times. He couldn't stop falling, so that meant he couldn't stop the fatality. Anybody here want to die tonight? I didn't wake up this morning and say, boy, this is a good day to die. Now, I'm telling you, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, but I don't want to go today. You know what God put inherent in us? The will to survive. But we also have to realize it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You don't go to soul sleep. You don't go to utopia. You don't go to an oasis with 70 virgins and all of that stuff like this crowd. Listen, when you die, you're going to meet God face to face. And you're going to have to give an account. The Bible said in Romans, every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. Now the question is, are you ready to meet God? Young man couldn't stop his falling, so he couldn't stop the fatality. And he couldn't stop the sorrow that came to his family. Can you imagine how his mother and dad were shocked while Paul was preaching, and suddenly that boy just slipped out the window. Boom. Yes. They might have heard him hit the ground. I don't know. Could you imagine the mother and dad running to the window? They run. Eutychus! 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 They look out the window. The daddy says to the mother, don't look, sweetheart. Don't look! You don't want to see that down there. You see, when you fall out, you have no control anymore about what happens to you until and unless you're ready to get God's help. Wait a minute. Before you fall out the window. Therefore, take heed lest ye fall. That means pay attention before it happens. Afterwards, it may be too late. These cemeteries are full of young people who probably thought they'd serve God someday. And now they're buried. They're just gone. And what are you going to do? And the parents are heartbroken. Oh, preacher, what could I have done different? Don't let them sit in the window.
Amen.
Be a mother and a dad. You're not their friend. You're their parent. Let them know there's danger out there. This is a dangerous world and getting more dangerous by the day. Yeah, but I don't want my family to think I'm too strict on my children. Hogwash! Your kids will appreciate you being strict. They'll appreciate your discipline. They'll appreciate, and if they don't, you know why? It's because they fell out. But thank God, I'll close here. We must heed the possibility of a second chance.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what went through Eutychus' mind as he was falling, but it was three stories. So it took a few seconds. You know, people talk about when they're about to die, their life flashes before them. I don't know. I've never died before. I hope I never do and come back to tell you about it. I don't think that's the way it works, by the way. Well, I saw a light at the end of the tunnel. No, you didn't. That was your pizza you ate the night before. I know some people say, I don't like that. When you get a church and pastor and preach, you preach what you want to. But Brother Roddy asked me to preach tonight, so I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. Take heed lest you fall. Thank God, God gave that boy a second chance. And can I tell you something before I close? In fact, Brother Roddy, you can come on up to the pulpit, but I'm going to close right here. Have the musicians come off, get ready, brother. Get ready to sing a song, whatever you want to do.